St. John's versus Villanova Sunday at a pack sold out Madison Square Garden. Yeah, it seemed like an exciting game. Maybe St. John's could punch their ticket, but did you really believe it was going to happen? Well, it did. And to talk about the game and what it means for St. John's, we bring in Zach Braziller from the New York Post. Hey, Zach, how are you?
How you doing, Laurie?
I'm doing well. So, safe to say, did St. John's, can we get this out of the way, did St. John's essentially clinch an NCAA tournament bid with this big win?
Yeah, I mean, barring a collapse, they're in. They now have three wins over Villanova Marquette. They have five quadrant one wins. They're up to 19 wins. They're over 500 in the league. I mean, they have five left, barring, you know, them going 0-5 or 1-4, which I would be very surprised by. I think they're in. They're basically playing for seeding the rest of the way now. All the experts coming in said a win here would basically lock it up. So I think they're pretty safe right now.
Now, I was saying early on in my show that I thought that this could be one of those signature wins. I know you wrote a story calling it a marquee win, but a signature win where we may look back and say this was a turning point for Chris Mullins and St. John's, in the sense that it happened at the Garden, the atmosphere, the crowd, all of that, and even the potential impact that could have then on recruiting. Where do you stand on that?
It helps. I mean, there's no doubt that some pretty good recruits at the game. You know, anytime you beat Villanova, you know, it's been a long time. They hadn't beat Villanova in New York since 2002. Before last year, when they won at Nova, they had a pretty long losing streak to them as well. So it definitely helps. But, you know, for it to be a turning point for the program, for Chris Mullin, it's about consistency. It's about sustaining success. They got to get into the tournament. They have to follow up next year with another good year. So I don't know if I would call it a turning point or like a watershed moment, but it was definitely a big moment. I mean, this is a win that's going to get them in the tournament, and maybe they could, you know, use this as a springboard and get a decent seed and win a game in the tournament. It's been 19 years since St. John's even won a game in the tournament, so I don't think there's any doubt that this was a huge moment for this season, at least.
Well, actually, what I really said is it's a crossroads, that it could be that moment, or it could look like I was there the night that that Rutgers beat Louisville in the Greg Schiano era, and I also thought that was going to be a positive change, and look where we are for Rutgers football. So it could also go that direction. Speaking of turning points, though, clear to this one, Justin Simon and the ridiculous 70-foot, like, three-quarter shot at the buzzer seemed to transform the Garden crowd. What impact did it have on the players?
After the game, Mustafa Heron said they basically went in the locker room screaming, really pumped up. I mean, it really gave them a momentum. You know, they played such a cool first half. To go down 11 did help a lot. But still, they're down 14 with about 13 minutes left. So they still have to go on that huge run there. So it definitely helped at least keep them in the game. But to me, there wasn't really necessarily one turning point. It was just the way they defended it and the way they beat the blow. It was two teams today. And we've seen a lot of that this year at St. John's, where we've seen two different teams. Sometimes we see it in the same game. Sometimes we see it game to game. When they play the way they did in the second half, it's a top 25 good team. We saw it when they beat Marquette earlier in the year by 20. We saw when they won at Creighton. We saw it again today. When this team is defending and the ball's moving and they're sharing the ball, it's a very good team.
Now, you mentioned defending, and obviously LJ Figueroa was a standout in this game on both sides of the ball. But the four steals, part of the story there, I just thought his defense also leading to transition baskets. He looked to me like, you know, on a day, it's just surprising, on a day when Shamori Pons does not have it, for them to still beat Villanova. I actually thought the offense should have been, in the second half, almost running through him more.
Yeah, he was clearly the best player on the floor. He had 22 points, he had 12 rebounds, he had those steals, as you mentioned. I mean, even in the first half, when things weren't going right, he was playing really hard. He was making plays to at least not let Villanova run away. But he's been a huge addition to this team. He's a junior college kid. He's from Massachusetts. You know, people had high hopes for him. I don't think any clearly the MVP of this game. And when you look at a lot of St. John's big wins, he's been in the build at all. When you can think about the Marquette game, when they won at Georgetown, the win even against Butler on Tuesday, he played very well. He's been such a key element to this team.
Zach, I also thought, you know, one of those stats that maybe, you know, a part of the story that maybe is going to get overlooked a little bit was I thought St. John's foul shooting, the free throw shooting down the stretch and how well they did there. Is that, you know, when you talk about this team and the different types of, you know, they can be the good St. John's or the bad St. John's, as we look ahead to the, you know, potentially the NCAA tournament, you know, foul shooting, but what are, you know, lockdown potential defense, what's the formula if this team is going to potentially win a game or two in the tournament? What's that formula look like?
You know, the formula for St. John's to be successful to me is pretty simple. It's about defending, it's about rebounding on the defensive glass, and it's about getting out in transition. It's a very, very good team when they're on the fast break. Jay Wright after the game said he thinks they're one of the best transition teams in the country. And you obviously saw it today. When the game is up and down, when they can get out and run, they're very good. They struggle sometimes in the half court, especially if Pons isn't on. You know, they obviously they play a five out offense. They really don't have a back to the basket guy that they can throw the ball down in the low block to. So they will struggle when it's a slow game, but when they can defend, when they can create turnovers, and when they can rebound misses and get off and run, they're very tough to beat, especially when they're facing a team that, you know, a big team that doesn't really match up with their quickness.
Talking to Zach Braziller from The Post about St. John's, about the big win at the Garden. And, Zach, you cover a ton of a lot of different sports, but certainly a ton of college sports, a ton of college basketball. How did the atmosphere at the Garden today compare to some of the other, college basketball environments and certainly St. John's games you've been around?
You know, we've had good games at the Garden. We've had NCAA tournament games at the Garden. There's a different sound when St. John's is going well and when they're playing well and it's a big game. It the second half, it was definitely a full-day crowd. But I know there was some concern that it might be a lot of Nova fans. I thought it was at least 75-25 St. John, maybe even 80-20. And, you know, you heard it when Simon hit that three-quarters court shot, the crowd was nuts. And in that second half, it was once St. John started going on that big run, that 25-run late in the half, in the second half, it got so loud. Even Jay Wright and the Bill Belichick admitted it. It was intimidating. That place, you know, there's been talk of, is it better for St. John's to play at home? Is it the door or the corner second arena? Because corner second arena is small. It can get really loud. You know, it's almost something you can pull out of the high school gym. But when the Garden is full and it's packed and it's loud, as you saw today, it could be a huge home court advantage. And, you know, that crowd really got them going and really carried them at points of this game.
Now, Chris Mullins, I'm not personally sold yet on Mullins as you said, he has to be more consistent as the coach of St. John's. But in this game, what did you think of Chris Mullins' coaching job in this game versus a guy who I think we all respect as one of the best in the game in Jay Wright?
You know, I find it kind of funny. It's a funny thing that happens with St. John's. When they lose, you hear about the coaching, and when they win, you hear about the players. So I think Mullen gets too much blame when they lose and not enough credit when they win. The one thing he's shown here is an ability to keep his team together in tough moments. You know, last year they started 0-11 in the league. They lost a ton of close games, and he kept that team together, and they had a really good February. This year, they've had some really tight spots and struggles, and he's kept them together. They just went out of 2-1 road trip, and they won at Marquette and won at Creighton. Now here they are. They come back. They lose a really bad game to Travis. They bounce back. They beat Butler. Today, they're down 29-10. Looks like they could get run out of the building. Mm-hmm. And he keeps that team playing hard, and he keeps them together. Look, he has shortcomings as a coach. He's only been his fourth year as a coach at any level. I've said for now a few years, I think he needs more help on the bench with an experienced X and O's coach. But you have to give some credit for the way this team has hung together. And look, they could have fallen apart at points in the season, but here they are. They're, back over 500 in the league. The schedule is pretty manageable the rest of the way. And he's going to get this team to the tournament, which is what we've all said from the beginning of the year he had to do. You have to get into the tournament. And look, he's 3-1 now against the two best teams in the league, two teams that both ranked in the top 13. He's got to be doing something right.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, you mentioned consistency. That I give Chris Mullin a lot of credit for Sunday's win. You know, I think you're right that if we're gonna dump on him when they lose, you got to give some credit that this team hung in there. Now they need to be just as intense and interested against all comers as they're playing the top two teams in the league. Anything, you know, in terms of Villanova. If you're a Villanova fan, any cause for concern when you see a game like this and you see, you know, it looked to me for, I understand they lost, you know, four players to the NBA last season, but when I see players like Pascal and Booth, they looked a little flustered towards the end of this game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way I've kind of felt about Villanova for a while. They're a good team. I think they can make it to the Sweet 16, but they're really short on scores. There's so much on Booth and Pascal's shoulders, and you saw that late in this game. They're basically two guys that it makes them easy to defend. They have two guys who can score. Their other younger players are, you know, they could score. They scored some early, but once that game got tight and late, it was all Booth and Pascal. And when you have only two guys who are your real options, it makes it much easier for the other team to limit you. And I think the last several minutes, you saw that with St. John's. They were putting extra pressure on those two guys. They were forcing long jump shots. And Villanova really needs that third score to emerge. And, I mean, we're now at, you know, in the middle of February. I don't know if that third guy is going to come along. And once you get in the NCAA tournament, you're facing better competition. You're facing better defense. You know, that's going to be an issue. And, look, they have a very good record. They're 11-2 in the league. But I think they've won a lot of very close games they could have lost. The first St. John's game they could have lost. They could have lost at home to DePaul. They've had some other close games. They found a way to win. But they're lacking the third score to me would be a concern once we get into March.
And last couple seconds before I let you go, Seton Hall also with a big win. Are we getting pretty close to the point where we can say Seton Hall has punched their ticket?
You know, they're still in the bubble, but that was a very big win. That was their third Quadrant 1 win. They already have, you know, two great wins over Kentucky at the Garden and at Maryland. I mean, I think they're in very good shape. As long as they can get to 9 league wins, they're at 7 now. Mm-hmm. Now the schedule does get pretty tough. They're home for Xavier, but then they have at St. John's, at Georgetown, home for Marquette, home for Villanova. So they're not home free yet, but that they're trending like they're going to make the tournament. And to me, getting to the tournament will be a huge accomplishment, no matter what happens there. They lost their four senior starters. They're relying, and they have basically one scorer in Miles Powell, and then they have a lot of good defensive players, and they have size, and they have some youth, and that youth is really coming alive now. And you know, it's a fun team to watch because you see them grow, and you see now, like St. John's, this is a team that went through January struggles, and now they've won 4 or 5. And you know, we'll see those two teams play next Saturday night at the Garden. It should be another big crowd. I know St. John's fans have been waiting for that game for a long time after the way the first one ended up. So it should be a really fun night at MSG next Saturday.
All right, Zach Braziller, appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
Have a good night.